Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 19, please. Proverbs chapter 19. Well, I enjoyed the Christmas program on Friday. I'm thankful for all the work the children did learning their memory verses, and the choir did learning that the music. When you find your place, if you're able to, we will stand for the reading of God's word, and we will read Proverbs chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, and I'll just read if you could follow along. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we think about this matter of knowledge. Having knowledge, being without knowledge. Lord, I pray that each one of us here would strive to find knowledge and then to live in it, to follow it, to regard it, to give it place, precedence, godly knowledge, give it place in our heart. Lord, we pray that you would help us to then disperse it to others. We ask that you be with any that might still be traveling on the roads, that you might give them safety. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week, we tied off some thoughts from the study on raising children, and particularly adult children. And then we started into Proverbs chapter 19. We read and looked at verse 1, started into verse 2. I want to look at some more verses about this concept of the soul that is without knowledge, that it's not good. Let's take a look at in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. Proverbs 10, 21. So, and also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. So it is not good that the soul be without knowledge. People talk about knowledge is power, and they kind of use it sometimes in a sense that it is ungodly. They use it in the sense that, well, if I find knowledge, I can use this as leverage against others, to hurt others, to lift myself up above others. Or they might, the knowledge is power. Well, godly knowledge is certainly power, but it ought to be used in a right way. It ought to be used to feed those that are spiritually hungry. It ought to be used to reason with those who are spiritually darkened, or those who have voluntarily darkened their heart. And you're trying to show them from Scripture that Jesus is the only way, or some principle from Scripture. So Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21, we read here, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Fools die for want of wisdom, for lack. When it says want there, it's not saying they want it. That word want has a couple meanings, and the one here is for lack. They die for lack of knowledge. You know, I've heard of stories, and you probably have too, of cases where people have, I'm thinking of one case, I don't have all the specifics, but I believe there was a plane crash, and the people involved ended up dying of starvation when not that far away from them was some sort of a ranger station or something where there was food. And they were so close, and yet they were so far. And so in this passage here, fools die for want of wisdom. They spiritually die because they do not get the nourishment they need. Let's take a look in Isaiah. We're going to look at a number of passages from the prophets. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 27, verse 11. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is as a people of no understanding. Therefore, he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will shew them no favor. They're a people of no understanding. A person that looks at this critically, that doubts God and his sovereignty and his justice and his mercy and his love, might say, this is unfair. They are without knowledge. And he says that he will not have mercy on them. We recognize that with knowledge comes responsibility, accountability. That is a scriptural principle. But at the same time, God has shown himself to people over and over and over. And the reason why they lack knowledge is because they don't have a strong enough interest in finding that knowledge. You know, you think of the example, I read you an email last Wednesday night. Someone that got one of our John and Romans in their mailbox, and how angry they were at us, and, you know, saying we indirectly murdered trees and damaged the habitat for animals with this paper product. And yet, and we know where these houses were. There was nothing on their door about no flyers, no unaddressed mail or anything along those lines. So they do get flyers. They get their Canadian Tire flyers and their This Week, Kamloops This Week newspapers. And so they it's a very double, it's a...
Those trees are okay.
Yeah, those trees are okay, that's right. They must be renewable. Yes. But here you've got someone that does not want God's word. That is clearly said they're not interested, and they're going to use it for kindling, is what they said. People die for lack of knowledge because they don't want it. If a person wants knowledge, just like the Lord says in Jeremiah, if you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I love that. If we search for him with all of our heart, he will be found. He will not remain elusive. He might make us follow hard after him. He will want to see that we have a genuine interest and that we're not just flippantly saying, yeah, I want to know, but don't want to put the effort in. So these people here, yes, they're without knowledge, but they have chosen to be without knowledge and as such are still under God's condemnation. Let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah 5, verses 1 through 9. Jeremiah 5, 1 through 9. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth. And I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they are not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Notice there, they're not interested. They've raised themselves up in pride against the God that created them, against the God who told them how to live, what to do, how to escape punishment. When it says here they've refused to receive correction, I understand that to mean that they have refused to profit by it. If God corrects a person, they'll get it whether or not they want it. But they have refused to profit by it. They've refused to learn from it. They've refused to change their ways. See, God's punishment is not arbitrary. It's not like, okay, I really feel in a mood today. Let's see who I can punish. And okay, well, it's your day. I'm going to punish you today. I'm going to punish you today. God doesn't behave that way. He's not punitive. When he punishes the believer, it's because we're in sin. Either one, it's a trial. It's not a punishment. It's a trial. A trial of our faith to draw us closer to him, to build our trust. Or two, it is chastisement. And we need to know the difference. We need to find out what it is. What is the cause of this problem? Is it our own doing? Is it a result of our own doing? Or is it God's doing? Is it him working in us? So when the believer sins, God punishes them with the desire that they do a 180-degree turn. Turn away from their sin. So that's why it's so important for us to know, Lord, is this punishment? Is this chastisement? Is this a trial of my faith? Which is it? Because if it's punishment, if it's chastisement, I want to know so that I will make the corrective changes in my life. But these people, they would not. They would not receive the correction. They made their faces harder than a rock. They refused to return. Therefore, I said in verse 4, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf out of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I have fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things? But speaking of chastisement, punishment, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Dropping down to verse 20 in the same chapter, we read, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Jesus quotes from here. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves therefore toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. These people, they don't want God. They don't want his ways. They turn to spiritual whoredom. They've turned away from God. To these gods, as the Lord said, which are no gods. They're not gods. So many people, and you know, he says here, he reminds them about some of the things that he's done. The creation of the world, talking about the sea and the boundaries of the sea. And it's amazing, the people in this world that cannot open their eyes, as he says here, you know, in verse 21, which have eyes and see not. You know, think of Romans 1:19 and 20, about the invisible things of the creation of the world are clearly seen, even his eternal in power, Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People, they live in this world, and yet they belligerently do not want to believe that God created it. They have intentionally blinded their eyes. Now, we do have blind leaders of the blind, and some have naively bought into it. I would believe that their conscience still pecks away at them and says, this doesn't match up. This isn't right. I was talking with a friend this week here that some of you know. We've been witnessing to him and over the years, and ended up having a long conversation with him till like 1:45 in the morning. But he's moving in a direction where he's coming up with strange theories connected with quantum physics and transportation and the soul being moved from dimension to dimension and all this to turn away from God's word and not believe the truth. They've got the truth right here, and people are just willfully turning away from God's word. Let's take a look at Hosea chapter 4. Look directly after Daniel. Hosea chapter 4. Person could read the whole passage, but just looking at the way that the people have turned. But you notice in verse 6, this really demonstrates that people die for lack of knowledge because they have turned away from knowledge. So Hosea 4, 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will forget thy children." They're destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. They had the opportunity to listen to knowledge, to find knowledge. And we so much even more when you consider that the availability of God's word and the tools that we have that they did not have. In verse 12, he says, "My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them." He's speaking of idols and stocks being wooden idols. "For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God." Instead of turning to God for knowledge, they make these graven images and turn to them and seek knowledge. Same book, Hosea chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Hosea 6, 4 through 6. "O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets." I believe when he's saying here, hewed them by the prophets, he's talking from a spiritual, symbolic perspective. I mean, we do know that Elijah certainly killed those prophets of Baal, but for the majority of the times, the prophets were hewing them with words, the word of the Lord. So therefore, I have hewed them by the prophets; I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Notice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. He didn't want people that were just following rituals. This is what I've got to do. And I think of a Roman Catholic lady that Luke and I met some years back on visitation. And she was a very pleasant person. But she made it very clear, I don't need to really dig into this because my priest has already figured it out, and I just need to follow what he says, and I'll go to heaven. I don't have to think about this. I don't have to research. I don't have to get into the Bible. I just follow. She didn't want that knowledge herself. So many people that just want to do the burnt offering, so to speak, whatever it is that their faith does, they don't want the knowledge of God. They don't want to dig. They don't want to work. Let's take a look now in the New Testament in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And we have to take this to heart, even as believers, where we have to be in God's word. We cannot, I mean, where we get our name, Berean Baptist Church. Some wonder if that's a denomination, and no, it's not a denomination. It's just, we could have just as easily have named it Kamloops Baptist Church. But when Pastor Horton and those that were started the church here, the Kuipers and Sister Dick and others, their goal was that that this church would be like the Bereans in Acts 17:11, to search the scriptures daily to see whether those things are so. And we need to search the scriptures daily, to be in God's word, to find knowledge of him. And we need to pass it on to our children. We need to involve them on our journey. And when we find passages of scripture that speak to us and let us hope that we are getting nourished, those of us that have children, we ought to be using that to tell our children about, to educate them. Too many children of believers, of good, solid believers, have taken an alternative path, have gone away from God. In some cases, it's clear that they never trusted Christ in the first place. And in some cases, they've backslidden. We need to give them knowledge. You know, I think of our fishing derby we had. I've said it a few times to Joseph after that fish leapt onto the dock and he caught it. I wanted him to, I mean, I'm not his dad, and I'm sure his dad probably had some words for him too. But I wanted to encourage him to remember that. What God did, giving him that fish that just leapt up on the dock and he caught it. I wanted him to remember that and that he would, that in the future, when he's in trials and tribulations, he'll go, yeah, I remember that time when God provided for me in a miraculous way. Okay, John 16, 1 through 3. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. These Jews have not known the Father. They have not found knowledge of God. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 2. Familiar passage. See, a person might in the back of their mind be saying, but really, do people have enough to go by? Do they, as far as the knowledge of God? Well, we've already talked about Romans 1, 19 and 20. But also Romans 2, 14 and 15. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Yes, we have been given sufficient knowledge, a knowledge of God through the creation of the world, the witness of his creation, the witness of his word, the witness of Jesus Christ down here on earth, the witness of the Holy Spirit living inside of the believer. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 10, 1 and 2. Romans 10, 1 and 2. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And that should be our heart's prayer now for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Oh, I so wish that, not just the Jews, I mean, I wish the Jews would turn to their true Messiah. I wish that Canadians, Americans, that people as a whole would turn to the true Messiah. I don't expect it to happen on a global scale. I believe, though, and I've been encouraged to see people one by one here, there, still searching, and Jesus Christ still drawing men unto him as he said he would. So many people have a zeal of God. This morning, you know, saw some of our neighbors, faithful Jehovah's Witnesses, fast walking it down the street to the Kingdom Hall. You know, a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you know, it can be exasperating when you're dealing with people that have spurned knowledge, and we can sometimes throw up our hands and say, you know what, I'm done. But we ought to keep on trying. I mean, we do have to use our time wisely. And there are times when we say, you know what, I could spend my time right now witnessing to this person who I do believe would hear, would listen, rather than this person. Sometimes we have to make that decision. It's the same sort of decision a paramedic has to make on an accident scene, on a mass casualty accident scene. And the paramedic has to say, okay, well, who can I successfully treat as they triage? Who is viable? But when we have opportunity, we ought to still witness to those, not to throw up our hands. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4, we read, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." So not only do we have man's pride, which causes them to not see, we also have our adversary, the devil, going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is blinding the eyes. And you know, sometimes when you're dealing with people that are frustrating you, and you're trying to witness to them, and they're not hearing it, they're not listening it, they're not seeing the obvious, remember that we have this adversary that has blinded them, that has fed them a lie, that has intrigued them, that has made them think. I mean, you think of, you know, some of you have seen this video. Was it Expelled? No intelligence allowed, or something along those lines. And you see the interview with Richard Dawkins, and Richard Dawkins says, "I don't believe in a creator. I don't believe that the God of the Bible created this earth." Then he goes, "But I do find it interesting, the idea of aliens having created this world." Aliens. The God of this world has blinded his heart and his mind. He's, you know, coming up with these ideas that aliens created us. So where's the proof? You're telling me that there's more proof that aliens came and created this world? Just because you might look at some of the structures that we see on Earth and go, wow, how did that happen? How did the pyramids get built? How did these structures in Peru get built? You know, it must have been aliens. No, no. We have an adversary. There is the pride of man's heart, and then we have this adversary that blinds men's hearts. Let's be people. Let's really be Bereans that dig into the Word of God. Find knowledge, teach knowledge to those around us, to our children, to our neighbors, and to others. Dispel it. Give it away freely. Let's take a look back in our text as we close up that verse. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. So also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. It feels like an understatement, doesn't it? When we read that people die for lack of knowledge. And I'm not, when I say that, I'm not at all for one second even putting a doubt on God's word. I'm just saying, wow, you know, he makes a statement. But when you think about it, people die for lack of knowledge. Yes, it is not good. And he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. Now that's an interesting statement, isn't it? He that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. You might say, well, but I mean, you know, sometimes we hasten places. You know, we're on a man on a mission or a woman on a mission trying to get things done. And, you know, you might have an appointment or you're trying to get somewhere quickly. Like this earlier this week, it was trying to make an appointment for my wife to get into the Medi Center. And I was thinking, man, those long lineups, sometimes, you can't get in. And so I was hot-footing it down to the Medi Center. Well, I drove partway and hot-footed it. It's cold out, you know? But hot-footing it. I wasn't hastening. I was not sinning in my haste. This is speaking about other things. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16. Things like hastening to shed blood. Solomon, speaking to his son here, and if we back up to verse 10, my son, Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Notice verse 16. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. They make haste to shed blood. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. There is a hastening that is wicked. Here we read about those that are hasty of spirit. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. I'm sure each one of us can say there have been times in our life where we've been hasty of spirit, where we have not been slow to wrath, but we've been hasty. Hasty to make an assumption, hasty to respond based on that assumption. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. Hasty in the way of finances. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. There are those that are hasty in their desires, in what they want, what they will spend their money on. And what happens? They end up lacking. That word there, want, only to want, I believe that there the context would be to their lacking the necessities. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. Go not hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Hastily to strive. That's where we have to search out the matter. What's going on here? You know, you might have a neighbor that makes a statement, gets angry about something. You might have a coworker that says something. And you might have that spirit that's hasty to strive. And you put the dukes up, so to speak. And Instead, just to take that step back and say, okay, well, what is being said here? What is going on? Not hasty to strive. That happens with unsaved, that happens with believers. We ought not to have our, you know, kind of weapons at our, you know, to have our concealed spiritual weapons, or not even spiritual, but you know what I'm saying, you know, emotional weapons, kind of like a gunslinger, ready to, you know, we just got that twitch, you know. Oh, is that what you said? You know, but just let it go and to find out, dig out the matter, find out what is being said. Okay, well, let's end right there. And that hastening with the feet, that is speaking about things that are wrong, not just, you know, being a quick walker. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you and we pray that each one of us would seek knowledge. We would find it, and that we'd search for it as for hid treasures. Lord, that we would not be content with gold dust, but that we would look for the mother lode. We look for the veins that are deep within the ground. Lord, that we would use our pick and shovels and other tools to dig it out, to separate the ore, to separate the rocks from the gold, the quartz from the gold. But Lord, that we would refine it through your word, through your Holy Spirit. Help us not to be hasty in ways that would displease you. Help us not to be hasty in spirit, to be angry, to strive. Help us not to be hasty to seek after wealth. Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts today and really draw us close to you. And again, we ask prayer for any that are still traveling, that you might give them safety on the roads. We know that they're a little slippery. Pray for Sister Annie in hospital, Lord. We thank you so much that she's able to come out on Friday. And we pray that you bless her today. And if it be your will, that you would be able to release her fairly soon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we ask for the prayer for the weavers suffering from colds and flus. We just pray that you would give them healing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.